I appreciate it. Before we go, one quick mention of the energy bill.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush has signed the federal budget bill allocating $555 billion for wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan, despite his concerns about spending on special projects included in the legislation. The bill funds the Iraq War well into 2008 and provides for much-needed money for some 14 government agencies. U.S. air defense officials say their resources are stretched thin due to the grounding of hundreds of F-15 fighter jets after dangerous structural defects were discovered. Officials, however, say they've filled the defense network gaps with F-16 fighters and air defense partner Canada. Turkish warplanes conducted bombing raids this morning in northern Iraq, targeting Kurdish separatists. The Turkish military claims to have killed more than 150 Kurdish rebels in the past 2 weeks. The Iraqi cabinet has approved a plan to offer pardons to a portion of the 50,000 prisoners held in U.S. and Iraqi jails. The move is aimed at political reconciliation between Sunnis and Shiites. Pakistan and Afghanistan pledged increased cooperation to combat the growing threat of terrorism. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf and Afghanistan's President Hamid Karzai appeared at a joint press conference today, referring to each other as brothers after diplomatic talks in Islamabad. Israeli and Palestinian negotiators resume peace talks tomorrow. Palestinians say nothing substantive can be discussed, though, until Israel stops building settlements in disputed territory near Jerusalem. In Chad, 6 French aid workers were sentenced to 8 years of hard labor after a court found them guilty of attempted kidnapping. Members of the group Zozark were arrested in October when they attempted to airlift young refugee children to foster homes in Paris. Police are investigating how a 300-pound Siberian tiger escaped its enclosure at the San Francisco Zoo last night, allowing it to kill a spectator and critically injure 2 others. The animal was shot and killed by police. Last year, the same tiger mauled a zookeeper. In Panama, authorities have found the wreckage of a small plane that crashed in the country's mountains. The pilot, a California businessman, and his teenage daughter are dead, but a 13-year-old American girl survived. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking. Now, are you banking or are you just talking?
I'm doing both.
Well, that's part of being at a local bank, isn't
it? Exactly.
But it has all the benefits of a big bank.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, they help me out with all my banking needs, the whole nine yards.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
Well, I think that's the most important. It's full service, and it's like a family-style atmosphere in there. And that was one thing that was very, very attractive to us.
Certainly, yeah, because I don't like to go to a bank and stand in a long line and have to wait and then have some grumpy teller say, okay, another customer.
Yeah.
But they're happy to see you.
You're putting money in, you're taking money out.
I put it in, yeah, my wife takes it out.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Travelers returning home from the Christmas holidays can expect delays, particularly at the nation's airports. Winter weather is to blame. MasterCard reports lukewarm holiday sales, increasing less than 2.5% over last year. Hardest hit were sales of women's apparel, which actually decreased. Target downgraded its holiday sales projections. The retailer says last week's spending was not enough to make up for a slow start to the buying season. Now, home prices fell 6.7% in October compared with a year ago. It's the largest price drop in more than 16 years and marks the 10th consecutive month of price depreciation.
Within a week, the nation's most complicated and expensive highway project will finally be finished. The price tag for Boston's Big Dig Tunnel is $14.8 billion. The project is expected to cut the time it takes for motorists to cross Boston to less than 3 minutes. That's down from 20 minutes. Campbell Soup is selling luxury chocolate brand Godiva to Turkish food company Yildiz. Light sweet crude is trading at $95.97 a gallon. Gold is at $829.50 an ounce. That's up $13. Our last check of the Dow, it's up 2 points at 13,551. The NASDAQ's up 11. The S&P 500 up 1. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. It may be the most wonderful time of the year, but you know what? It's also pretty doggone exhausting. Okay, how about you guys? Worn out from Christmas? I mean, just... I am. And I say that, you know, not because I'm spiritually worn out for it or anything. No, I'm still tired. You know, we took a break to do Christmas, basically, you know, Monday and Tuesday, and it was a long weekend and everything, but... Yeah, you know, I'm a dad of a family with four kids and a grandbaby, and there's not a lot of let up. I mean, no feet up on the couch, you know. No. Because, you know, I take it upon myself to cook the holiday meal every year, and I did that yesterday, and I think I was on my feet continuously from about 6 a.m. till about midnight, and wow. So, you know, I need a break now. Which reminds me, you know what? I know we're not here on New Year's Day. That's a for certain. We're still toying with whether or not to do programs on New Year's Eve. You know, a lot of people go out. My buddy, he's real hardcore, and he calls New Year's Eve amateur night. You know, anybody who, well, but anyway, a lot of people go out on New Year's Eve, so. I don't know if we'll do a show or not for that evening, but you know me, I'll probably be back here right behind the microphone because that's how I am. I love being with you guys. I just do. So lo and behold, we get a 2-day break for Christmas and we come back. And what day is it? Well, you know what day it is.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Darn straight. That's right, brothers and sisters, brethren and sistren. It is prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Come on down to the altar. Put your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing waves of faith passing through you. Hallelujah. Don't forget your magic cookie. I've got my collar out and I dusted off the funny hat. Bishop Bob is in the Cathedral of Common Sense. So, you know, we've got some stories along those lines this evening. And you know, let's start out with one. Why not? And what's more, let's start out with some happy news. Let's start out with a win for our side. Ramen. Because the Flying Spaghetti Monster, yes, his noodly goodness, his starchy wonderfulness. The flying spaghetti monster has put the kibosh on a bunch of anti-evolution freaks in a Florida school board in Polk County, Florida. God, I love getting to put one in the W column. It turns out that, the law of the state of Florida doesn't expressly state that evolution shall be taught in schools. So the Tampa Tribune had a story several days back that goes back another month or so. Lakeland, Florida newspaper, The Ledger, called school board members Kay Harris Fields, member that is, to ask her opinion of the pending state science standards. For the first time, those science standards in Florida will mention, that's right, evolution. And she stated, Ms. Fields, K. Harris Fields, she said, if it ever comes to the board for a vote, I will vote against the teaching of evolution as part of the science curriculum. No, I'm sorry, that's not Ms. Fields. That's Lofton. Five of the seven school board members declared a personal belief in the concept of intelligent design. Four of the five board members said they would like to see intelligent design taught in Polk County schools as an alternative to evolution. Margaret Lofton said, if it ever comes to the board for a vote, I will vote against the teaching of evolution as part of the science curriculum, praise Jeebus. If evolution is taught, I would want to balance it with the fact that we may live in a universe created by a supreme being as well. Well, that is where... bless him. Bless us. Bless them.
Yar!
That's where the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster got involved. Pastafarians all over the country bombarded these freaks, these anti-knowledge, anti-brains, anti-common sense freaks from the school board in Polk County, Florida. What they did is just to hammer these people with emails demanding that flying spaghetti monsterism be taught side by side with any other version of intelligent design, if that's going to be taught aside evolution. And lo and behold, these goons from the religion industry on the school board backed down. Yes, they did. Hallelujah! Uh-huh! They did. They really, really did. Margaret Lofton said, they've made us the laughing stock of the world. No, Ms. Lofton, you made you the laughing stock of the world. You said that you wanted to teach the what's Malloy call it, the talking snake theory of creation? Yeah, you know, where the gossipy water moccasin has a chat with the original woman, and there's fruit and trees, and the next thing you know, hey, I'm naked. And you got, you know, and that's how the women's wear industry comes along, which has apparently taken a hit this holiday season. Now, here's the fun part. They didn't blame the flying spaghetti monster Pastafarians. Oh, no, 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 no. These are right-wingers and religion industry freaks. Who did they blame? Come on, everybody! I wish the delay wasn't so deep or so long with the chat room, because I'd love to give you guys a chance to get to it first. Now, who did they blame? That's right. The liberal media. The liberal media. Mm-hmm. He said that it was the media bringing light to the story that made them reconsider. That Tim. Some call me Tim. What was Tim's name? Doggone it. One of these days, I'm just going back to paper. I'm going to start printing my stories off again because my having to sit here and anyway. Tim Harris said, my personal opinion on how I vote don't always jibe. The woman who started the whole thing, Ms. Fields went on to add that it was the media's fault. She told the Tampa Tribune via an email that she didn't realize there would be a story on the front page of the Ledger indicating that she opposed evolution. It's definitely the Ledger's fault. The other side of this coin is that there was some there was some serious coin at stake because the University of South Florida was on the verge of putting its Florida's first four-year public polytechnic college right smack dab in Lakeland. Polk County, Lakeland City governments pledged $5 million to help kickstart the campus, and they hope to build a so-called high-tech corridor around it. The vice president of the University of South Florida, Marshall Goodman, who has put the most time, effort, and energy and blood, sweat, and tears into the project, told the Tampa Tribune, quote, "You can't," talking about, intelligent design, "you can't even call it pseudoscience." So put one in the W column for the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, because Polk County, Florida, has in fact been touched by his noodly appendage. And proud I am to bring the information to you. You can find this over at Daily Kos under David KC's diary, DavidKC. David Casey's diary. You know, it's just nice to see a win, because we're gonna take a walk through the swamp later this evening. We always wind up doing that, but let's start off on a high note. Meanwhile, out in Mid-America, in Illinois in particular, apparently there's a new drug problem. The name of the drug is Salvia Divinorum. Salvia divinorum. You can smoke it, you can chew the leaves, you can do some other stuff, and depending on what you do with it, you'll get anything from a buzz to hallucinations. It has been used by Indians in Oaxaca, the Mazatec Indians, in the Oaxaca regions of Mexico. 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years. That's all. But now it is a scourge upon the civil society of Illinois. Yes. And of course, the ban on Salvia divinorum was dreamed up by, of course, State Representative Dennis Rebelletti, who is, of course, Repiglican from Elmhurst, Illinois. He drafted the bill. The bill sailed through the Illinois legislature, signed into law, and as of January 1st, Salvia divinorum, the herb of the divine sage, becomes not Schedule 3, no, not Schedule 2, a Schedule 1 controlled substance in the state of Illinois. Rebelletti said that it was necessary to regulate the drug tightly in Illinois, because it has not yet been banned by the federal government. Now let's stop for a minute. Back up, slow down. If it hasn't been banned by the federal government yet, that means it has to be closely regulated by the state. Time, 30-second TV timeout, if that's all I got left. I thought Repiglickens were the people who hated government intervention. I thought Repiglickens were the bunch that said regulation and was, you know, bad government, bad. Well, not when it comes to something that might actually compete with their buddies and donors in the pharmaceutical industry. We decided to move forward rather than waiting for someone to be killed because of it. It is, as I said, hallucinogenic to one degree or another. It has been utterly legal. It's been for sale in Illinois and other states at tobacco shops and head shops and gas stations. Yeah, what I suggest you do is you smoke your salvia separate from huffing your gas, because those fumes go up and it's just not pretty. And the buzz is about 20 minutes long. And I even know a couple of people around here who've tried it. And no big deal. Let's see. One person said the effect of the herb can be described as very relaxing, kind of like taking an anti-stress pill. Bing, 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 bing. Lights, toasters. Yeah, there it is. What? You mean this cheap little herb could keep you from having to get on the pharmacology bandwagon? What's that you say? That? Ban it! Ban it now! The leaf is very, very mild. There's no reason to ever make the leaf illegal. A lot of women buy it for PMS depression. Well, there go the lights and sirens again. Can't have women getting relief for PMS-related depression or anything every month. Can you imagine what would happen to the sales of Zoloft? Ooh. Rick Doblin is director of the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. Dude, sounds like a fun place to work. Sorry. Couldn't resist. He agrees that Salvia divinorum produces an experience that's more introspective than thrilling in nature. Only a small percentage of people actually buy it more than once, he said. It's not fun in the way people normally seek out drugs. He described the buzz as, I really felt like there was this closeness developed between the stars, the trees, and us. It seemed like the stars were both light years away and right there between the leaves of the tree. Pass it over. Nah, you can't have people using anything that makes you feel like you're close to the universe or nothing, because, can you imagine, you know, General Petraeus getting hold of some of this? Next thing you know, he'd be talking crazy crap like making peace in the Middle East or leaving Iraq. No, he needs a nice, solid, triple, extra dry, two olives and a pickled onion martini. Get good and loaded and go think about violent things, or, you know, maybe drive a tank or something fun. But so, January 1st is going to roll around in Illinois, which is, 2,000, 2,500 miles from the hills of Oaxaca. Reminds me of a line from Shel Silverstein's The Great Smoke Off. There were Oaxacan tops and Kenyabang and Riviera floors and some of that wet imported stuff that capsized off the Jersey Shore. But, of course, you know, the right-wingers are concerned that somebody could get hurt. We decided to move forward rather than waiting for someone to be killed because of it. Meanwhile, not moving forward very much on that whole killed by drunk drivers on the highway problem. Then no, not so much. Not having a lot of luck with the whole problem of kids taking psychotropic antidepressant medications when they haven't been recommended for pediatric use, and they engender feelings of hopelessness and anxiety and an urge to blow your brains against your bedroom wall right next to the, like, you know, Hannah Montana poster. Not making a real a lot of progress with people who might get killed that way, but, you know, we're going to stop Salvia divinorum in its tracks. Sheesh. An herb, for the love of God. I am scared to death that, one of these right-wing idiots is going to find out that there are drug dealers out there who rip off people in pot deals by selling them oregano and parsley flakes, and the next thing you know, my spaghetti sauce isn't worth a damn anymore because I can't season it because oregano and parsley flakes are Schedule I controlled substances on the... Oh, idiots! So, you know, don't be planning on having your big fun, your big salvia buzz in Illinois after January 1st. Because at that point in time, it'll be a Schedule I narcotic, and possessing it will be, shall we say, problematic. By problematic, I mean your butt will go to prison for it. Where do I live? Now, we have a 17-year-old girl who passed away last week because an insurance company wouldn't clear her liver transplant, declared that she didn't have coverage for it in her policy, and moreover said that it was an experimental procedure. Leontine Sarkeesian. How many and I see that, it's an experimental procedure. How many liver transplants have been done in the United States? Bigger than a bread box? Smaller than a camel? More than five? Less than a million? At what point do you stop calling something experimental solely as a means to keep from having to pay for it when you are an insurance company who makes all of its money denying claims? Mark Garagos is the lawyer for the family. They went right out and hired the gun. Good on them. This is no time to be screwing around. And he is not only planning on suing Cigna, he is demanding that the district attorney get involved and file criminal charges against someone, everyone, something. You know, don't just stand there, do something, that kind of thing. So, you know, that's where we live. I asked where I live a little bit ago. That's where I live. That's where you live. That's where we live. We live in a place where politicians can get their knickers in a twist over an herb that has been used for 3,500 years by the Mazatec Indians of Oaxaca, which is now being used in a very, very, very limited, by a tiny, little, minuscule fraction of an anybody. But they can waste legislative time passing a ban and making it a felony to sell it or possess it, this herb, this salvia divinorum. And meanwhile, Cigna Insurance Company came out with a press release saying that we made the right decision all along. We did. We knew we did. It was experimental. There was no indication that this would have helped that child. Well, no, there was no indication. No indication that denying it wouldn't. Because denying it did. It killed her. I've been sort of torn up about that story ever since I read about it Thursday. And it's not getting any better. What kind of country do we live in here as 2007 stumbles and shuffles off to its ignominious end? We live in a country where the Congress passes passes a bill called H.R. 2640. H.R. 2640, a gun control bill passed by acclamation in both houses, the House and the Senate, on December 19, 2007. What is the purpose of H.R. 2640? The purpose of H.R. 2640 is to keep guns out of the hands of the insane. I mean, if I'm not saying it nicely, or there's somebody out there who's periodically just crazier than a run-over dog, and you don't like it when I say insane, I'm sorry. But the purpose of the bill is to keep guns out of the hands of the insane. Well, the right wing hates it. That's right. The right wing of America is arguing the gun rights of crazy people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the guy that shot up Omaha, and the guy that shot up Colorado, and the guy that shot up Virginia Tech. They had rights to have guns. And it wasn't the fact that they had guns that caused them to kill all those people. It was because well, never mind. But no, they have gun rights. Now, H.R. 2640 is called by the right-wingers the Veterans Disarmament Act. You want to get a handle on the way these SOBs lie? They take a piece of legislation that is fairly narrow in scope in the first place, i.e., let's keep guns out of insane people's hands. And then they set up a straw man and narrow it further, so that when they send it out to all their little right-wing emailing lists, and it goes over to the freaks at Free Republic and pops up at Newsmax.com and winds up at, over on the American Family Association, that Jesus wants crazy people to have guns. Hallelujah. It's referred to as the Veterans Disarmament Act. And what they are trying to say is that a finding of mental illness on, well, they've got this idea that everybody's going to be declared crazy so they can't have a gun. And, of course, they're using veterans as their straw man in this instance. You know, this is the funny thing. I remember way back in the Bush administration, the first Bush administration, not his daddy, but, I mean, the first 4 years we had to suffer through W., when he had a plan to have every child in American schools psychoanalyzed and screened for potential medication. You would go to, you could ask a right-winger about it, and they'd go, huh, what? Oh, yeah, he wants to do that. And they went, well, I reckon it's a good idea. Really, you do there, Goober. Uh-huh, he wouldn't do nothing what wasn't good for the country. Okay then. So along comes H.R. 2640 that says that if you are adjudicated to be, talking to people who aren't there, only doing what the voices inside your head tell you to do, that kind of stuff, that you probably ought not be allowed to purchase a firearm. And that we're not going to let you. you know, the government. You, me, we the people. Our government. That our elected representatives that we sent them there. And granted, they don't do a lot of the things that they ought to be doing. Heaven knows, Congressman Wexler is one of my heroes right now, Robert Wexler, insisting that impeachment be put back on the table. And we'd like, I'd love to see him get a little bit of support. A little, a lot. But they do some good things, and this is one of them. Taking guns out of the hands of insane people so that, you know, if you go to Walmart to pick up your antipsychotic medication, but you find out that they're out that day, you can't express your frustration by going back to the gun department and, you know, buying something to just, you know, pass the time while you're waiting for the hallucinations to stop. Something that is measured in gauges or calibers and can be used to shoot up a school or a house or a home or a church or a synagogue or the Walmart. Can't do that. Got no business doing that. But you know how it is with the right wing. The right wing says, now up to 140,000 veterans are in danger of losing a precious freedom they fought so hard to defend on foreign shores. Okie doke. Let's say you're a veteran, trained by the, this is how the right wing pitch goes, trained by the U.S. military to wage war and use weapons wisely on a foreign battlefield. Every day you face intense pressure from fierce enemy combatants. Enemy combatants? How about fierce enemies? You're surrounded by a civilian populace, some of whom want you dead, many others innocent bystanders. It's up to you to tell them apart, but our government trusts your judgment under fire so long as you're stationed overseas. Something unusual happens the moment you return to the United States, though. The medical establishment may place you under a mental health microscope. Perhaps you attend a hearing, perhaps you don't, but as long as you're allowed a hearing before a lawful authority, you can be found mentally disabled. The moment that happens, all your Second Amendment rights are canceled. You see how this works? You see what else they accomplish when they put this garbage out there? It's not just about, you know, pushing this guy. And this is a pitch for an interview with the same freak that Mark Levine had on his program a couple of weeks ago, Larry Pratt from Insane Gun Owners of America. This is about hustling the view that soldiers who report mental difficulties aren't manly enough. Non es más macho, you know? Because when you come home, you are put under a mental health microscope. Well, see, that's a lie in the first place, because there is no mental health microscope. There's no mental health. There's nothing. The attempt to stem the tide of emergent PTSD in our returning veterans is, let's see, what would the journalism speak be called? Modest. What would the real English for it be? Pathetic. But instead, you've got these right-wingers saying, they're going to sit you down and make you look at the dirty pictures and until you... Mother! And then they'll take your gun rights away. Because they hate you, and they hate your freedom, and they hate your Second Amendment rights to protect the country in case you ever need to, like, stare down a tank with a 9mm pistol. Yeah, got it, Sparky. So that's, you know, once again, a classic case of right-wingers who can't get upset about what's really happening in America, so they have to make something up instead. This is just amazing. They're praying, the gun owner, the insane gun owners of America and Larry Pratt, who probably shouldn't be allowed within 1,000 yards of a firearm, because he is insane. They're praying that George Bush will veto H.R. 2640. But if he signs the bill or takes no action by December 29th, what is that, Saturday? The law goes into effect. And thousands of patriotic veterans will lose their right to keep and arm bears. No. You know, if you can see it out there, if you go to the right websites, you can, and watch these people work, and see how everything they do, Insane Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt. This guy got mad when Northern City started cracking down on the gun mills that were sending, they found out were sending oodles and oodles of illegal firearms into their cities that were being used in crimes. Why are they picking on innocent gun stores? This is the guy who likes gun shows, you know, where you can buy and nobody asks any questions, and, you know, you go home with an Uzi that you can later use to shoot up the Dunkin' Donuts. Wow. Just wow. But watch them work, because, underneath that whole story, it's not about veterans having access to guns. It's about trying to drive veterans away from access to adequate aftercare from their service in Iraq. Because if nobody shows up, nobody can complain that there aren't any services for the people who don't show up. See how it works? It's elegant, really. Simply elegant. Oh, what a night we're off to. Oh, speaking of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, there's a group of graduating cadets at a police academy in Idaho, and they get to choose, when they're graduating, they get to choose the motto that will be printed on their graduation program. Each class at the Idaho Police Officer Standards and Training Academy has been allowed to choose a slogan for quite some time. This year, the class is 43 strong, and the slogan they chose for their graduation program, well, here it is. And I quote, "I wish I could make this stuff up. I wish I could just get on the air and do what Limbaugh and Hannity and O'Reilly and Savage and all those other freaks do every night and just lie my ass off. But instead, I got to tell you the truth. I got to give you facts. And this is the fact. This is the quote that the 43 graduates of the Idaho Police Officer Standards and Training Academy wanted printed inside their graduation program. Don't suffer from PTSD. Go out and cause it. Don't suffer from PTSD, comma, go out and cause it." These guys are going to be given fast automobiles, an unlimited supply of gasoline, very powerful sidearms, a trunk load of shotguns and riot gear, and they will be sent out into the wilds of Idaho to deal with Idahoans. Not, with all due respect to the Idahoans, not your average, calmest bunch of people in the world. Don't know if it's the potatoes. Don't know if it's the weather. But, you know, you got some weirdness in Idaho. Militias and enclaves and compounds and that kind of thing. go. Don't suffer from PTSD. Go out and cause it. Ada County, Idaho Sheriff Gary Rainey attended the December 14th graduation. And just a few minutes before the ceremony began, he pointed out the slogan, "Don't suffer from PTSD, go out and cause it," to Jeff Black, the Academy Director. Afterwards, Mr. Black said, "That's not something we encourage or condone. It shouldn't have been there. It was inappropriate." The class president was ex-military, and the slogan got slipped in, Black said. He said, henceforward, they'll check to make sure that all future slogans are given approval by leaders at the Idaho Police Officer Standards and Training Academy. This one slipped through, however. Yeah. Don't suffer from PTSD. Go out and cause it. What do you want to bet that's a cute slogan this fella heard, this president of the 43-member 2007 graduating class of the Idaho Police Officer Standards and Training Academy? What do you want to bet that's a cute slogan they came up with while he was in Iraq, huh? Because the culture over there does not deal well with the fact of what happens to people who come home from that nightmare and have no support system. Don't have PTSD. Go out and cause it. Gives me the shakes just thinking about it. What's that phrase that's entered the cultural lexicon in the last few years? Suicide by cop. Well, looks like these Idaho grads certainly aim to serve. 13 minutes before the hour, and let's go to the phone, see what's going on. Hi, who've I got?
Hi, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Well, your story about Idaho. Okay, first of all, Ada County is Boise. That's right. The capital city.
Yeah, that's where, like, there's some civilization and stuff.
Well, it's the only state capital I have ever been in that, honest to God, within walking distance of the Capitol building, had signs that said, "No horses allowed on the sidewalk." Honest to Pete, it does, or at least it used to. What that area also has is a very large Hispanic migrant population.
Because of the potato fields and whatnot?
And the other crops, yes. So what you have here... Yeah.
Now, bear in mind, this wasn't limited to Ada County. It was actually noticed and objected to by the Ada County Sheriff.
Uh-huh. Well, what you have here is these... Idaho cops are not... Okay, I'll just come right out and say it. They're rednecks. You know, they would do a brown shirt proud. I'm sorry, that's the way it is.
Okay.
If you're driving in Idaho, don't be surprised to be pulled over for no other reason than they want to find out if you've been drinking. Never mind probable cause. Forget that.
We don't need no stinking probable cause.
No.
Well, look, I mean, let's face facts. An officer on the road can make probable cause out of just about anything. You didn't signal.
They don't even try. They say, "We want to check and see if you've been drinking." And they make no bones about the fact that's the only reason they pulled you over. I ought to know, because the day I got my very first driver's license was in Ada County, Idaho, and 20 minutes later, I was in the car going down the street, and I got pulled over for that very reason.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bobbing and weaving, stone cold sober, were you, Susan?
Yeah, really. Just absolutely. But Idaho cops are well known to be the type that thumps first and asks questions later, if they ask at all.
Don't suffer from PTSD. Go out and cause it.
Exactly.
Lordy.
Idaho's not a very friendly place to be unless you got money.
Well, I'm one of these anti-hard winter person people, so it's just a little far north for my taste anyway. But
you and me both, they've got three seasons, summer, winter, and fire.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true, too. That's yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't get out of the state fast enough.
It's pitiful. It's sad.
Yeah, these
weren't just, you know, county sheriffs or city cops. I'm sure there was a class of Idaho state troopers in there, too.
Yeah. And you know what's really appalling? That Ada County Sheriff?
Yeah.
He was probably looked at real funny for even making a note about it.
Oh, yeah, that was probably un-American or something, right?
Yeah.
Mercy.
And this is in the southern part of the state. This is not where the real weirdos hang out. The real weirdos hang out up in the northern part.
Yeah, up there where you can throw a rock from the eastern to the western boundary. Yeah, no.
Right. It's up in the northern part. That's the birthplace of the order. Lovely people.
I'll take your word for it.
Not. But down in the southern part, you know, it's always been considered more or less sane. Well, only by their standards.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like I said, I couldn't get out of the state fast enough. I pulled off one of the fastest moves in creation the minute we were able to get out of there, in the dead of winter.
Yeah, and that's a real winter, too, isn't it? But, this is... Whatever happened to protect and to serve, but, you know, never mind.
Not in Idaho. Unless you're...
But, no, this is the future we're inheriting. And I know it may seem like the stories are all disparate so far this evening, but they're not. Young cops with slogans like that in Idaho, a right-wing Republican state legislator in Illinois who's all bent out of shape about an herb that is essentially harmless.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that it'll make you see the walls breathe for 20 minutes, and then it's over.
Yeah, I can do that just by looking at them. You know, I don't need any drugs.
But no, it's part of an authoritarian culture.
Yeah. If it's not approved by us specifically, it's illegal. That's their attitude.
Yeah, what do you want to be doing that for anyway? Shouldn't you be in church?
Yeah. And if you don't like it, shut up or I'll break your arm.
No, shut up or we'll introduce you to the for-profit prison system.
Yeah, and in Idaho, that's exactly what it is, too.
Well, what do they put the chain gangs out in the potato fields or something?
I don't know about that. I do know that they were outsourced to private companies a long time ago.
Yeah, and that's a narrow profit margin, too. You've pretty much got to make your money on what you don't provide to the prisoners.
Yeah, like food.
Yeah.
Medical care.
Right. No kidding.
If you're going to get busted, don't do it in Idaho. Used to be the whole deal was, whatever you do, don't get busted in the South. That may or may not still be true.
Well, everywhere that right-wing authoritarianism and Bushism and Republicanism have gained a foothold, it's, you know, for anybody normal or liberal or with sort of anti-authoritarian views, Susan, it's, you know, don't let the sun set on you here. And it's not slowing down.
No.
And I think we rather make fools of ourselves when we think that it is.
It has to be fought at every turn.
Yeah, it does. And I don't know how much fight some of us have left in us.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So, you know, I don't know. I just try to put the information out there and let folks synthesize and make of it what they will.
But we did win one. Blessed be his noodly offense.
Blessed be his postaliciousness.
Yes.
I was, yeah. But you know what? I was proud of. I really was. I mean, all kidding aside, I'm proud that there's something like the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster that people can rally around and use as a means of, you know, sort of slapping these creationist intelligent design people around. I personally am in favor of a national law that says we will teach intelligent design in American schools as soon as you can tell us who created the designer.
Yeah, and prove it.
I mean, after all, it's not good enough that evolutionary science has been sound, rock-solid science for 150 years and hasn't been disproved, and it's moreover largely proven, and that the stuff comes out of the fossil record all the time that adds more and more information to our knowledge base. That's not good enough. Well, you have to. It's only a theory. It's just a theory. You can't teach that. It's just a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll be nicer than you. We'll let you teach your theory of intelligent design. All you have to do is tell us who designed the designer.
Yeah.
Understanding that it's just a theory.
Yeah.
I personally believe the Flying Spaghetti Monster designed the intelligent designer.
Got your pirate costume on?
I'm waiting. It's due any day now. Yar.
Yeah.
Little stuffed parrot sitting on my shoulder. It's going to look so nice.
Oh, hey, yeah. I need pictures, Ben. I need pictures.
The minute I get one, you will, by God, receive one. I promise, Susan.
I will let you go.
All right. Take care.
You have a nice night. Give Bert my love. It's also my sister's birthday.
Oh.
They both had the bad taste to be born the day after Christmas.
Well, you know, I was trying to get him out into the world on Christmas Day so he could share a birthday with Jimmy Buffett, but it just didn't quite work out.
Ah, well. Hey, give him my love and say hi to Agnes for me.
I sure will, and hey to Donald. You take care, Susan.
Okay, bye-bye. Ramen.
Ramen. Bye now. All right, so with all of that having gone before, we'll take a little break, come back after the news, and a little relevant music from a listener that came in during my rantings. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
All my family problems disappeared overnight. We're all taking so long, and everything is fine. Sister's teen angst just flew out the window. Mama's so happy, she laughs all the time. Trouble getting along with each other. Mama hit daddy, I hit little brother. Then the family doctor gave us all these little pills. Now I can't believe how crazy we all went. All my family problems disappeared overnight. We're all taking so long, and everything is fine. She's just being nice, just pull out the window. Mama's
This is the Quality News Network. Iran will buy an anti-aircraft missile from Russia. That's according to Iran's defense minister, an announcement which could further irritate the United States, Britain, and France. Iran is currently under UN sanctions over its refusal to stop enriching uranium, but sales of conventional weapons to Iran is not banned. Egyptian leaders are rejecting Israel's complaints over weapons being smuggled into Gaza, calling them a smokescreen. Diplomatic talks between Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak and Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak are expected to continue. The leaders of Pakistan and Afghanistan have both pledged to increase communication and cooperation between the two countries to combat the growing threat of terrorism. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf and Afghanistan President Hamid Karzai appeared at a joint press conference today, referring to each other as brothers after diplomatic talks in Islamabad. Serbian officials are saying no to the European Union over the independence of Kosovo. Serbia's prime minister and president both told the EU that they would never join with a united Europe if Kosovo is also given equal independent status. Seattle authorities are tight-lipped about today's discovery of six bodies at a woodside compound located just outside the city. King County Sheriff's detectives are not ruling out a murder-suicide. They say there's no danger to anyone else living in the area, but authorities would not say why. At least 78 people were killed in western Indonesia by landslides caused in heavy rain. Several villages in the region are flooded. Damage is extensive. In Nepal, search and rescue efforts continue at the site of a bridge that collapsed yesterday, killing at least 15 people, some 100 still missing. In Panama, a 12-year-old American girl is the only survivor of a plane crash in a mountainous region of the Central American country. The CEO of a U.S. hedge fund, his teen daughter, and the plane's pilot all died in that crash. Two U.S. soldiers were killed in northern Iraq on Christmas Day, bringing the official U.S. military death toll in Iraq to 3,900. And a 300-pound Siberian tiger escaped from its enclosure at the San Francisco Zoo last night, killing a spectator and critically injuring two other people. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll check business and more just after this message.
Want to start off the new year with a global internet presence but confused by all the ads for websites? Let Carmel.com and Boulevard's New Media give your business the gift of an internet page and internet advertising without all the worries. Get the results you want from internet advertising. Carmel.com provides the production graphics, designs, and writes your own unique web page. We brand your own logo and link global visitors to your page on Carmel.com. And we optimize your brand in all of our top city.com sites. We offer free toll-free numbers that connect direct to your phone line, free booking engines for hotels and inns. And we offer low monthly rates for retail and service businesses with all of your production costs free. So why wait another year for a web page? Give your business the benefits of Carmel.com's internet advertising with your free web page. Call us at 831-624-8889 or email contact@carmel.com.
Southern California remains under a high wind watch. Santa Ana winds exceeded 100 miles per hour yesterday, downing power lines in three counties. The hot, dry winds often contribute to fire hazard in the region, as was seen in October's series of brush fires which seared across seven California counties. Home prices fell 6.7% in October. Compared with a year ago, it is the largest price drop in more than 16 years, marking the 10th consecutive month of price depreciation. Shares for Amazon.com rose more than 2% today after the company reported that the current holiday season is its strongest ever. Shares of Apple Inc. reaching the $200 mark for the first time today as investors gained confidence in what has been a profitable year for the iPod and in computer sales. Shares rose $1.17 in afternoon trading to $199.97. They earlier peaked at $200 a share. Germany's economic minister says his country must lower its 2008 economic forecast. Europe's biggest economic power expects its gross domestic product to expand 2% next year. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 2 points to end at 13,551, the NASDAQ up nearly 11 points, S&P 500 up 1. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All righty then, another tremendous hour of conversation radio begins at 6 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob. You guys are just wonderful. And during the break, I got to admit, I peeked in. It's the boy's birthday today. And I told him that I would, do the birthday cake for him. And I did. And, you know, I really ought not be turned loose in a kitchen. Looked like a birthday cake that had been in an earthquake or something, because it wasn't all flat like it should have been, and I didn't have the commons in. I was in a hurry, so I didn't shave it off, and it didn't fit together, and all the icing sort of ran to one side, and it broke into. Oh God, it was terrible. But I got a feeling it's going to be pretty tasty. He said, "I want a chocolate cherry cake, Dad." And so I sort of had to invent a chocolate cherry cake. Maybe that was the problem. It lacked structural integrity. I don't know. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Ed is calling from here in West Virginia. Hey, Ed, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you for taking the call.
Oh, gosh, my pleasure.
First of all, I hope all your family had a good set of holidays and plenty of good food and everything. I know if you did the cooking that they had... plenty of good food anyway.
Oh yeah, we're still sweating that off, Ed.
I know how that goes. But a couple things I want to talk about. You know, you're talking about cops again. You know, I don't think people realize what's happening with the different states like Iowa and places like that, that where the cops have got that same mentality that you were talking about, you know, go out and create the situation. That's a commonplace thing. And my question is that retirement of cops is very low in this state, but yet the academy keeps turning out cops before, it's like there's going to be an uprising in each community. There's about 4 state troopers and 2 deputies that live right out here.
Well, see, and they've got a pretty strong union, and you know how I feel about unions. I'm as pro-union as one human being can be. But they've got a strong union, and therefore they can go to the legislature every year and say, you know, we're understaffed and underpaid.
Yeah.
And the legislature sits there and cowers in terror and tries to appease them.
Well, I
wish the rest of the unions in this state were that powerful.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're a union without a union. They're such, you know, the numbers that they have, counting them and their family, is a large block of votes. And that's where it comes in at, is the amount of votes that these people have got. And... just everywhere you look, you see one.
And well, this is a small state, so anybody who can get friends and family to vote as a single unit will exercise some political clout, won't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just against, the state's becoming a police state. And, you know, Virginia used to be bad, but we have got more... our highways are policed harder than what Virginia used to be and Georgia. Those two states used to, you know, and I don't know about Alabama. I heard that it was bad, but I know Georgia and Virginia was extremely bad.
But see, Ed, as long as you can hide it under the fig leaf of public safety, you can get away with pretty much anything you want to.
Yeah. Well, what I got against, especially the sheriff's department, them big pot-belly deputies, they couldn't chase down a tortoise, let alone a guy that was on foot. they'd have to get his license number. And another thing that I think I mentioned before, you see them at Kroger's, they're working double shifts, and then they call themselves working double shifts. They go up Kroger's or somewhere like that and work, and then at night you see them parked backed up in a off the highway somewhere, taking their naps or their sleeps there, and at the taxpayer's expense, and we're paying all of the expenses, as far as I know, gas and all, for the cars for them to do this stuff. And it should be confronted, you know, it should be exposed. But I'm, you know, I guess to start with, I don't like cops. I don't have any use for them. I know what they are. And so it's easy for me to say and feel the way I do.
Well, you know, for me, Ed, if somebody, you know, if there's a murder or a rape or an arson or something like that, I want a competent professional who can come out, sort through the evidence, and find out who done it.
Yeah, but you get them, you get most of them, and you find out that they messed up the evidence before they could ever use it. I mean, you see that all the time.
Sure.
But I'll change the subject a little bit. You know, you're talking about guns and taking their guns and the rednecks and the Republicans, and you're right. You know, they want to get you in a position that guys like Dick Cheney's the only one's got a gun. You know, that's fine with that plan. But
well,
the
kid who shot up Virginia Tech was obviously madder than a hatter. These last two shootings, the kids were crazy. They had no business having access to guns. They shouldn't have been able to. You know, the kid at Virginia Tech should not have been able to purchase one. But, you know, here are these the wild-eyed right-wing Republicans screaming that a bill that is designed to keep firearms out of the hands of the insane is somehow an assault on veterans. And that's just it's a level of dishonesty within what should be a debate that is just it's intolerable.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're good enough to have guns and go over and kill people that we have no business killing. But when it comes back home, they're real quick to declare them mentally incompetent. And if we start picking on them, the veterans, they're getting awful close to me. But the thing of it is...
But that's the thing. They're not picking on the veterans. It's simply a bill designed to keep you know deadly implements out of the hands of people who are you know too crazy to have them. And there's nothing in this bill that says that we're going to take away veterans' firearms. Nothing.
Well, I hope that's not the case, but I really think that you take guys like Billy Graham and those kind of guys that got that had the dogs. Had 12, 14-foot chain-link wire fence with barbed wire around the top, and that's the way they live. That's their standard of living. And they don't want anybody to have a gun. You know, all those kind of people don't. And I really believe that eventually they will try to do like the other countries have done, some of the other countries, and they will eventually try to take the guns from the people.
I personally don't see it happening, Ed.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, but I'm saying I think they'll try to.
Well, if anybody tries, you know, it'll be Republicans. Well, it'll be the right wing that tries to take away guns, because you know they're the ones that were four square behind the Patriot Act. They're the ones that scream terrorism, terrorism, terrorism. They're the ones who see the people of the United States as a threat and not an asset.
Yeah. Well, they ought to be afraid. You know, they got plenty of reason to be afraid of people with guns. You know, the way they've done. But I wanted to just tell you my feelings on that and the way the cops do right here in this county is a crying shame. But I want to tell you, you know, Mel Kessler, the delegate from Raleigh County.
Yeah, mighty good fella.
he was on a talk show, and he come out, you know, with the figures that there were six people running the state, and Joe Manchin really headed it up.
Our governor.
They don't have any oversight committees on anything. The insurance companies don't. The thing called workman's comp, you know, Brick Street, they don't.
Yeah, the privatized workers' comps.
They don't have an oversight committee on everything. And Joe Manchin said if it was put through that he would veto it. What are they afraid of having people to look at their records and what they do?
Well, you know, they say that sunshine is the best disinfectant. And I got a feeling if you flip the lights on over at Brick Street, you'd see a whole lot of roaches scurrying around.
Oh, that's nothing but a...
I mean, you turn on the local TV channels, they're running ads.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, just stop and think about that for a minute, Ed. They're running ads. Paid commercial advertising in this state for an insurance company that employers have to use.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me why they need those ads.
Well, the same reason that Massey does it, the same reason that the power company does it. All the ads that they run, they could use it for either upping the people's pay on workman's comp or at least making it timely. But there's 3,100 cases going before the state Supreme Court right now. People that are suffering and need the money to make a living.
And the company has fought them every step of the way on everything from an anti-inflammatory prescription to a permanent total disability. Oh, yeah, I know. I understand completely. And the reason I asked about the advertising, Ed, is what they're trying to do is, A, they're trying to spread some of the wealth around to the major media conglomerates inside West Virginia so that they'll get good press that way. And, mm-hmm. B, because, you know, they advertise in the newspaper, too. And, B, they want to establish it in the people's mind that there is no such thing as West Virginia workers' comp, that it's all something called Brick Street.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you notice, too, the person, one of the people that does the advertising for them is, looks like a model, and she probably knows much about workman's comp. Of course, it's the money that got her there. It's not...
She's just a hired actress.
Yeah. And it's just unbelievable what, you know, the parties they have down there and the stuff like that that's going on. And Kessler, the delegate from Raleigh County, is exposing every bit of it. And, you know, on the gambling, too. So, and this Green, the guy that, you know, was for the dogs, you know.
That replaced...
You can't even get him on the phone. He has accomplished his mission by getting the dog racing thing through. And that's all he's fit for. Somebody needs to run in Raleigh County against him.
Well, it's not just Raleigh County that needs candidates. I mean, they're needed here where I am. You know that as well as I do.
Oh, I do. Shirley Love and David Perry especially need replaced. And I'm going to do.
But you know, Ed, there was something went down the day before Thanksgiving that you can't find anybody in this state who knows about it. And as far as I know, I'm the only person talking about it, and that is the outright buy-off of the Supreme Court of Appeals of West Virginia. You know, with this $75 million Massey Energy the verdict that was overturned by the Supreme Court, and a justice sat on that decision who was paid to do so. Wow. And nobody knows about it. Nobody knows.
I haven't heard a thing about something like that.
Oh, golly Moses, yeah. The Massey Energy had a $75 million court verdict handed down out of the Circuit Court of Boone County. It was obtained by Harmon Mining, and Massey had set out to destroy them, and they got sued for it. That is why, you know, that's why Don Blankenship put Brent Benjamin on the Supreme Court a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know the reason he's there.
And the case finally came up on appeal, and lo and behold, you know, Brent Benjamin and Robin Davis and Spike Maynard did what they were put there to do, and that was to get rid of the verdict against Massey.
Well,
and you can't find anybody in the state who can talk about it. Why there isn't a wholesale outcry for the impeachment of Brent Benjamin, I do not know for the life of me. I mean, we just look at, oh, well, you know, he was bribed onto the Supreme Court. You know, okay, well, I guess that's how justice works. Yeah, and half of this state can't think straight right now because we don't have a football coach.
Boy, you said that right. You know, Bob, I respect sports, but the kind of stuff that is going on in sports, the kind of money that's paid, the kind of dirt that goes on anywhere from O.J. Simpson to Mike Tyson and Kobe Bryant, that bunch, it's pathetic. I mean, you know, people would rather have their light beer in a ball game than to have decent working conditions 5 days a week and have a union and have the right to stand up and say what's on their mind. But for a fact, I believe that the companies has got them intimidated now because they've gone so far backwards over the last 20 years, 25 years, that they're intimidated to the point to where they just accept whatever's handed down.
Well, there's a whole lot of truth in that, Ed. Whole bunch of truth.
It's a pitiful situation. But I just wanted to, you know, give you the report on mail, and I just hope you don't do enough to get in deep trouble, but he even threatened to run for governor. And I'm telling you,
he'd do it, Ed. And the shame of it is that while I understand why he would do it and what would motivate him to, I would just assume he stood right where he is and kept on screaming fire.
Yeah, exposing the people that's down there, and he said that he felt like a piece of crap in a swimming pool after one of his, after he let go on a bunch of them at once. But I told him, I said, you know, it's like when we started the union. You win one or two or get a bill through, then people start to see it where you can win one. And slowly you'll pick up one here and one there until you got enough backing to where some of them will just plain shut up. They don't agree with you, but they'll shut up. And the other ones, a lot of them will be with you because the exposure that you place on their shoulders. So I told him, I said that, you know, and he's right between not running again and running again. So I don't know what he's going to do.
Well, I hope he runs. I sincerely do.
Yeah, he's the one light that we got. This Rick Moyer, I think is his name.
Moy,
or whatever his name is, he's pretty decent too. You don't hear as much out of him as you do Mail, but they're a good combination. I think at least they're together. So anyway, but I've taken enough of your time. I'm going to.
Well, Ed, never worry about taking too much time. There's all the time in the world for you here. Anytime you want to ring in.
Yeah. Well, I just I saw Joe Manchin and told you I didn't like him and didn't trust him at the very offset. And I'm telling you, the way the police and the officials are going, we better walk close enough to them to where we can see what they're doing And it's like that outfit, or did you say in Idaho or Iowa or somewhere?
Yeah, Idaho.
It's they're really not too far from that. Every time you turn and watch, if you watch enough news, you're going to see where somebody shot or they beat somebody, or taking advantage of some woman, you know, that was at their mercy. And you know, I see that coming. It's scary. And I think you can't say it enough, you know, of what these guys are, because like you say, you give a 20 or 21 year old a gun, whatever happened to be, and it's like when Mel Kastler went to state trooper school down there. No, he went to their school, but he was a city cop in Beckley for a while. And they told him outright when he was 32 that he would rather people not come down there at that age, that they already had too much of their own way of thinking, and that what it amounted to, we can't brainwash you.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that. By the time you're 32,
they told him.
Yeah,
they
sure
told him that. And I don't think Mel would kid around the least bit.
No, nor do I.
I just and you, Bob, I don't know how you really feel about cops. You probably not as strong as I do, but you can't get one. You know, I have been to the state police 3 times. Now, I haven't been to the sheriff's department, which I'm going before the weather breaks, to try to get somebody out here to get these people slowed down on this road. We got kids that live 50 yards or 50 feet off of this road out here, and these golfers go up and down this road, you know, about dark, trying to rush home. I think they're, yeah, as I said before, I think they're scared of their wives, and they fly in and out of here. And I'm going to do my best to get that stopped. But I just don't, you know, they work at their own convenience, and if you get on them for it, they'll tell you they just don't have enough to go around.
Nope, undermanned and underpaid.
That's right. So, and they make more than they already make more than the people that pay them.
In many instances, that's true. Well, Ed, a very happy new year to you, and we'll be talking soon, all right?
All righty.
You take care now.
Bob, tell everybody I said all the rest of the holidays, happy holidays.
All right, we'll do it, and you take care.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye now. And let's see if we've still got somebody here. Yeah, looks like there's still somebody there. Hey, who have I got?
Well, you've got David in Tennessee.
Well, hey, David, how are you?
Doing quite well. I've got a wide-ranging, but I think it'll come together kind of a point. But first, I really want to congratulate Ed on a very, very important point, and I want to make sure that it's reinforced. The working man and the working woman have been denied so much for so long and offered so little. Too many of them really think the only thing left for them to protect is a brand of beer they've just seen advertised on television at some sporting event to give them some distraction until they have to get up in the morning and ask that car to start one more time. And, you know, that, like that two or three words in a Jackson Brown song, get up and do it again.
Amen. Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, let's stay with that for a minute. I don't want to keep you away from your overarching topic or anything. But if you think about it, small communities, especially, tend to define themselves not by the people who are in it so much, but by the sports teams at their high schools. Anybody who's ever been to football Friday night in Kansas or out in the middle of Texas or, you know, up a holler in West Virginia knows that full well.
Sports writers for 50 years have said that Bud Wilkinson single-handedly pulled the state of Oklahoma. They've been resting firmly in the Depression, the Dust Bowl era, for nearly 20 years, until in the late 40s, he gave them something to say. I'm from Oklahoma, and we have.
Yeah.
Up until that moment, they couldn't say much about we have, therefore we are, therefore aren't you glad to meet me?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the same thing applies to Alabama, you know, with Auburn and the university, West Virginia with WVU. Other states, you know, there's more to it. I mean, but again, we define ourselves by these artificial. Oh, I'm a Jets fan. Oh, I'm a Giants fan. Heretic, die. You know, that kind of thing. But you know, I was actually, because I'm such a geek, David, that I do sit around thinking about these things. You know, we had our Christmas feast and everything, and I went looking for this and that and the other thing to all go with it. And I couldn't get some things, and other things I could. And I got to thinking about the fact that virtually nowhere, except very, very tony communities, can you have something as simple as a corner butcher. And
that's getting way hard to find.
Or a guy who can fix your shoes. Because when the sole falls off your shoes, you throw the shoes away, because they'll make more.
Right.
You know, if you, God forbid, you'd like to have some lamb instead of beef or pork. Good luck, unless you live in the right neighborhood. On the other hand, though, if you think about it, how many stories, you know, with 2007 coming to an end here, how many stories have we had about E. coli tainted meat? Every bit of a dozen.
Dozens that we've heard about.
Right. Now, think about it for a minute. You've got one of these industrial meat processors out in God knows where, and they're not answerable.
My favorite one, and this is a true example, Iowa beef processors in Dakota City, Nebraska.
Perfect example.
You cannot work there if you don't speak Spanish. And it's live ones coming in, and it's everything else coming out.
Or the Smithfield Pork Processing Plant in Tar Heel, North Carolina, that you can smell 10 miles before you can see.
Yeah, when the wind's going away from you.
Right, yeah. Now, if they have a problem, they do a recall, and they eat a whole bunch of money. But they go on the next day, and they go back to telling us, oh, you know, we were fully inspected, and blah, 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 blah. If your corner butcher in your little community can't keep his stuff clean, and anybody who knows, you know, a butcher knows how meticulous they are, if he can't keep his stuff clean, he can't stay in business, and he can't feed his family. The same does not apply to Iowa meat products of Nebraska, or whatever you said.
Iowa beef processors in Dakota City, Nebraska.
Right. Doesn't apply to them. There's a reason that small town America has been destroyed. And that reason is to make us dependent on, the industrial food grid, the industrial clothing grid, the industrial water grid. You know, West Virginia American Water is owned by American Water, which is owned by a holding company in London, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of a German operation.
And like you mentioned about the shoes, these days, if you have a problem with a pair of shoes, assuming, not very likely, but assuming they could be repaired, most people can't do without that pair of shoes that has a purpose to it. They decide they can't wear them any longer, and they go to some place that will sell them an unrepairable pair for a modest amount of money, and they're going again. There's no backup to that. They can't wait 5 days while a guy at the shoe shop, if they are repairable, if they were made to be repaired, takes 5 days to do it properly so that you're going to get the life of that shoe all over again. Out of it. No, we're not geared that way, and it's a push and a pull. We need those insanely cheap products because the wages have been beaten down so badly, most times that's all we can afford.
Yeah, because you can buy American-made shoes.
Of course you can.
but you pay a ransom for them. And again, it's only the people who live in the gated communities who can buy them.
Yeah, it's kind of like people that drive all those four-wheel drive SUVs so they can jump curbs at McDonald's. The only place you'll see a pair of $140 Red Wings is on some damn lawyer walking around, you know, Saturday morning at a mall that's got 84 acres in it. Tell me I'm happy about that.
Well, no, I won't even try. But now this is, and you know, I'm not some sort of anti-technology guy. Anybody who listens to this program knows that. I'm not opposed to growth. I'm not opposed to new technology, but we've been conned out of our very essence. I mean, how many corner butchers are there not because of the industrialization of the cutting of meat? How many little shoe stores and shoe repair places are there not? And how many of those people raised families and put kids through college and retired with some semblance of dignity that aren't there anymore?
If you were a butcher when I was growing up, you were considered an integral part of a community that had a skill that you could be proud of, that the community gave you reinforcement for having. Oh, that's our butcher. I remember that guy in the neighborhood I grew up in, Nashville. I remember that guy.
And that's what I was talking about a little bit ago. We used to define our communities by, you know, we got a great butcher. Or, you know what, that guy over there, the best baker in five counties.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now all we've got is, well, it looks like the War Hawks are only 4-7 this year. We'll get them next year. Got a good crop of seniors coming up. That's all we got. And that good crop of seniors gets grown up, and no matter how much they love their home, they can't come back. Because there's nothing there for them. They can't go into daddy's business because daddy ain't a butcher or a shoemaker or a baker anymore.
No, he and mom are both struggling to, by both working jobs that have been degraded and paid less than they deserve.
And so Junior, if he can't get a sports scholarship and he does get into college, as Dr. Bill has attested on a number of occasions, David, he's not going to go and learn to do anything. He's going to go and be a services specialist. Not going to learn to make anything. Not going to learn to leave any mark. I mean, it goes back to Blankfein, who got the $68 million Christmas bonus from Goldman Sachs the other day. And it's just a straight-up question. The guy is an accountant, and it's no slur on accountancy. Everybody needs to know where the money's coming and going. But he what's he do? What are they going to say about him?
He did not make so much as one ball bearing or one washer or one temp steak.
He can't put his hand on anything and say, this, I did this.
He moved money. And that moving money usually involves denying rights. Let's move on to bad cops.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you, though, for the diversion.
Well, of course. Anytime. You know, it might be right down a mouse hole, but anyway. For several years, nearly two decades, I lived in Portland, Oregon. One of the things I liked about Portland, Oregon, was for starting in the late 60s, the Portland Police Force, City of Portland, and the county guys were considered to be some of the nation's best for being even-tempered, sensible. Wait, let's take a look here. Well, no, we don't have to, no. You know, I could run you in, but what would that accomplish? And starting in the late, in the early 80s, certainly by the mid-80s, there was this other sort of Portland cop. And you begin to realize that these younger guys looked like Eric Estrada right out of Chips. And that's where they'd all come from, because this trend started in Southern California. And I'm going to throw out several descriptions that or attributes that I know for a fact are part and parcel of this ugly, dangerous, malevolent subculture within police departments from coast to coast. And there's an even more ominous payoff to it when I get through with it. These guys are very muscular, they're very young, they're very aggressive. They want to confront and defeat. They never arrive at the scene of anything with the idea of protecting a citizen and calming and diffusing. They get there to create the equivalent of an ESPN Sports Center moment for themselves. These guys like to watch Cops. They never watch Sports Center. And there's a fact of life about these men. If you are able in any city over from 50,000 on up, if you go and you find the gym that is the best known, best equipped, and most likely to have serious workout people hanging around there, and you can somehow wave a wand and cause the manager or the owner or the person that's around it most often, what's the group of people that you couldn't live without? Young cops. Well, let me ask you one more thing. Who in this gym is most likely to be roided up to the eyeballs? Oh, the same young cops.
Yeah, and who's going to be roided up when he makes the stop on some guy who...
Roid rage is not a joke. One should never laugh when they hear that phrase. These people are looking for the chance to show off. So many of them have some sort of athletic background, and they were typically failures. You know, the calmest man in the world is a six-year NFL veteran that's not doing roids and plays offensive line. First of all, he knows anything short of a Mack truck with a spear on the front of it can't hurt him. So why should he become excited? Oh, but no, not these guys that have never accomplished enough to suit themselves. I almost said shoot themselves. Dr. Freud, wise courtesy term. Anyway, and you will see these guys. It's that little, you know, the tostada chip haircut, and it's the T-shirts backwards, and they love tanning parlors, and they all want to look like Barry Bonds. And the really, really, truly scary part of this, well, running into any of those guys in any sort of situation is frightening. And I have seen their handiwork, and it's not pretty. They're looking for a chance to show off and nudge each other and say, boy, did you see what I did? You see, I got six teeth on that guy. And boys and girls, those roided out psycho cops, that's Blackwater. If you just put Blackwater steroids, you'll find a ton of hits on how one of the dominant aspects of those just horribly evil men that are being paid by Dick Cheney to do what they do, steroid, worked out, we've got to show off. It's not an accident that they're going 60 miles an hour through a crowded city just simply blowing the horn and shooting those too slow to get out of the way. No accident. And I'm sure you've heard the same thing. And our government.
Yeah, then you have to ask yourself the tough question, where would they get steroids in Iraq?
if somebody wants something, they'll figure out a way to get something.
No, I don't even think there has to be a lot of figuring. Probably, you know, probably comes in with the bundles of money, David. I mean, yeah, speculation, yes, but no, you're right. That's them to a T. Out of the way, citizen, before I have to shoot.
Oh, gosh.
Coming to a republic near you.
Right. Uh-huh. And where are all those roided out crazies? What? It's going to be like America in, I don't know, mid-2009, the latter part of 2009, our country is going to be like Iraq was when we told, 400,000 Iraqi soldiers, you don't have a job now, go away, go pound sand, we're going to take this over, you guys go away. Oh, can't feed your family, too bad. Oh, oh, Mr. Blackwater, you're used to making $150,000 a year and just not having a rule in your life except I must preserve myself? Yeah, wait till those 25,000 Blackwater jerks come home. You think PTSD won't be installed around here? There's a little war zone to contemplate.
No doubt. Lord, it should give every American, you know, nightmares. Sadly, it won't. For a variety of reasons,
but it will when the worst of the worst. There may be some decent men in Blackwater and all the associated, you know, companies of like ilk.
I'm getting an aside from another listener who says, "Oh yeah, and these cops make such wonderful husbands and fathers. Job security for social workers."
Oh Lord, yeah, they hit that one on the head. Oh boy, did they ever! Yeah, after he comes home from a tough day of making sure everybody runs from the sight of him, and his kid says, "Dad, I don't want to study tonight." Well, here, once you go through the wall, Eric, maybe you'll feel more like studying your Spanish.
Need that Spanish.
Yeah, well, those people coming home, there's going to be an incredibly ugly, ugly situation.
It was said on this program a week or so ago that we are reaching for a day in this country where everybody's either in prison or working for the prison. And this, you know, this is part of that. The follow-up on all this, capitalism at its finest, jobs for everyone. I don't want to work in the prison industry. I don't want to work in the law enforcement industry.
Yeah, and one of those evil, evil, evil companies is headquartered right in Nashville, Corrections Corporation of America.
Oh, I remember when they wanted to build them some private prisons here in West Virginia.
One of the worst.
Yeah, because, like I said earlier, you make your profit margin on what you don't do. You warehouse the human beings and do the absolute minimum, and then maybe you hire them out at a way... Pardon me, when did we back up to 1858?
Well, the worst part of that for me is that those profits up until right this minute could be generated by the fact that with talking about protecting the citizenry, elected officials all over the country could say, oh, three strikes and you go to jail for 80 years. Oh, wait a second. Your third strike was a $15 bad check. All right, that's 18 years in prison. They've inflated the prison population. Oh, let's see. You're black and you're carrying crack. You get 19 years. Oh, you're white and carrying three times as much powder. You get 18 months probie. So they worked very hard to make the prison population artificially large.
We have
the highest percentage of imprisoned individuals for any first world nation. And now then, a court has knocked that down. There are 19,000 prisoners that should be, and should have their sentences reduced because of crack versus powder sentencing. Ooh, wait a second. Corrections Corporation and all their brothers and sisters are going to start losing money. We've got to figure out another way to imprison them.
And hence you get you think that rube in Illinois, David, found out about Salvia divinorum on his own because he was just stopping by for a little bit of Virginia Burley for the old pipe and said, "What's this and what's it for?" And they explained it to him and he ran right out and said, "I got to write a law about this." Uh-uh. Somebody picked up the phone.
Well, that could very easily be the first step. Oh, wait a second. They're going to revise all those 19-year crack sentences for that first offender? Well, let's go find this herb that gives you a bit of relaxation for 20 minutes. Not unlike smoking a cigarette if you're addicted to tobacco. Well, we got to make this stuff illegal. We got to fill those prisons up again. What's CCA going to do for profit? Ooh, wait a second. That guy has a camera at a political rally. We can put him away for 8 or 10 months.
Looks dangerous to me.
Sounds dangerous to me. Well, I'm going to get out of the way. You could probably put a real caller in just before the break, so you know, I've
I don't think they get much more real than you.
I've made a big enough mess for long enough. Oh, and tell that kid that's only 4 or 5 years away from being a teenage driver, I said happy birthday.
Damn you.
I love you too, Bob.
Oh, God. Thanks for the reference point.
See you later.
Bye now. Yeah, that's what I've been getting all day. Hey, Dad, I'm a preteen now. Go ride your bicycle. We'll throw the baseball. We'll do something. No, please. There are girls calling the house for him. He's in sixth grade. But, you know, welcome to the world we live in. Welcome to the world I'm handing him. Welcome to an America that won't be out of Iraq by the time that he's old enough for recruiters to prey on him. I used to think, you know, that if I, way back, you know, dinosaurs roaming the earth, me, you know, riding the back of the brontosaurus to church on Sunday, that kind of thing. I used to think I would be proud for my son to attend one of the service academies. Damn fine education. I don't know. I don't think so anymore. I don't want him anywhere near the military-industrial complex. At all. Because, you know, frankly, our side doesn't have the guts to end this occupation, and the other side doesn't have the moral grounding to understand how evil what they started is. Right? Yeah. Boy, that'll just sort of smack you around and wake you up a little bit. But for the time being, he's running around and riding his bike and having a lot of fun with Christmas stuff. And it does my heart good to see it. And part of the reason that I'm here every night, granted, this is a function of pure, unmitigated idealism. Part of the reason I'm here every night is because I would very much like for our nation to be on the road to recovery by the time he reaches his tax-paying adult status. By the time he gets old enough to be wanted in the military, I would like for him to live in a world where the military wasn't off and hot to go and blow anything up at the time. That may all be nothing but pure fantasy, I fear. However, we can at least try, can't we? Because if we don't try, we guarantee that the opposite will be true. I mean, yeah. So off to the news go we. If you want to chime in, if you've got something that's burning you up this prayer meeting Wednesday, I hope you'll share it with us. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
My child arrived just the other day. Came to the world in the usual way. But there are planes to catch and bills to pay. Learned to walk while I was away. He was talking for a minute, and as he grew, he said, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you come in, just like me.
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. Senate met in pro forma session for a total of 9 seconds as part of an ongoing power struggle with President Bush. Today's session was quickly gaveled in and out by Senator Jim Webb of Virginia. Mr. Bush was prevented from appointing a nominee for Assistant Attorney General, firmly rejected Senate Democrats. Without the pro forma session, the president would be allowed to install federal officials without Senate approval. From his ranch in Crawford, Texas, President Bush signed the federal budget today, allocating $555 billion for 14 federal agencies, plus the wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan. Seattle authorities are quiet about today's discovery of 6 bodies at a Woodside compound located just outside the city. King County Sheriff's detectives are not ruling out a murder-suicide. Iran will buy an anti-aircraft missile from Russia. That's according to Iran's defense minister, an announcement which could further irritate the United States, Britain, and France. Iran is currently under UN sanction over its refusal to stop enriching uranium, but sales of conventional weapons to Iran is not currently banned. The leaders of Pakistan and Afghanistan both pledging to increase communication and cooperation between the two countries to combat the growing threat of terrorism there. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf and Afghan President Hamid Karzai appeared at a joint press conference today, referring to each other as brothers after diplomatic talks in Islamabad. Serbian officials are saying no to the European Union over the independence of Kosovo. Serbia's prime minister and president both told the EU that they would never join with a united Europe if Kosovo is also given equal independent status. Solemn ceremonies were held across Indonesia and Cambodia to commemorate the December 26th tsunami, which struck the Pacific 3 years ago, killing as many as 230,000 people. A pipeline exploded in Nigeria today, killing at least 34. Mostly women and children gathered near the line to collect fuel. 2 U.S. soldiers were killed in northern Iraq on Christmas Day, bringing the official U.S. military death toll in Iraq to 3,900. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at business right after this.
Living our lives in a civil fashion is a declaration of intent. It says we are ready to put our better selves forward for the well-being of the community. It's like romance. When you fall in love, you are on your best behavior. The delight in making a loving connection with someone brings out the best in us, naturally. It is natural to acknowledge our fellow human beings with a nod of the head or a smile, to show them the respect we would want them to show us. The more we are civil, with strangers and with those who already know us, the healthier a spirit we create for ourselves, for each other, and the surrounding community. George Washington, the founder of a great nation, declared, "Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present." Civility is essential to community health. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Israeli and Palestinian negotiators resume peace talks tomorrow. Palestinians say nothing substantive can be discussed until Israel stops building settlements outside Jerusalem in an area that may eventually be considered Palestinian territory. As travelers return home from the Christmas holidays, experts warn to expect delays, particularly at the nation's airports. Winter weather is to blame. In business, shares for Amazon.com rose more than 2% today after the company reported that the current holiday season is its strongest ever. Shares of Apple Inc. reached the $200 mark for the first time today as investors gain confidence in what has been a profitable year for the iPod and also in Apple computer sales. Low-income seniors would be able to work off their property taxes under a plan proposed by officials in Westchester County, New York. Similar programs are successful in Massachusetts, Colorado, and South Carolina. A $6 billion deal between Iran and Malaysia was signed today to develop two offshore gas fields in another crucial boost for Iran's energy industry. Light sweet crude oil trading at $95.97 a barrel. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow up 2 points at 13,551. NASDAQ up nearly 11 points. The S&P 500 up one. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
New chatter in the chat room. Under the name Hate Ron Paul. Welcome to the room. I don't know if you're a regular who's just changed your name or if you're new to the program or new to the chat room, welcome aboard just the same, and I understand your sentiments completely. I'm an occasional contributor and frequent reader of opednews.com, and imagine my surprise, you know, real surprise, when I logged on, I guess it was Sunday, maybe Monday, and saw that Rob Call, the editor there, had endorsed, and granted it was limited in its scope, but still it just kind of made your eyes bug out and made, you know, one of those bad acid moments. Rob Call endorsed Ron Paul for the Republican nomination. And I chimed in a few times in that thread just because I was absolutely astonished. That a progressive would sully his hands on Ron Paul, frankly. But that's neither here nor there. Welcome to the room, Hate Ron Paul. On the phone, Chris, calling from Portland, Oregon. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I am doing fine. Basically, I'm calling on healthcare. With John Edwards having some kind of, it seems, healthcare he wants that's going to make being sick still profitable. Dennis Kucinich wants the healthcare for all so that everybody can be covered. Seems to be the only viable thing to do, mainly because when you do this, the question comes to how do we stop disease or what is the cost? Now, that answer brings me back to the book that I have read, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, by Weston A. Price. He's a dentist back in 1920s and 30s who went around the world and showed cultures that basically had no disease because of what they ate. And he documented everything and found out, and he did lots of experiments of people with bad teeth, what they eat, the teeth healing themselves. It's basically the Bible of why our bodies are falling apart, and you know they're anyway, you talk. I said enough.
Well, no, that's okay. It's a great starting point, Chris, because there's a movement, and what's his name? Andrew Weil is part of it, the nutrition movement, nutrition and preventative medicine as a function of medicine, the holistic medicine movement. It's not for me to say what works or won't work. I'm not a medical professional. I don't play one on the radio. But I do know that the system we have right now is just flat broken. And, for all those people out there and the Ron Pauls and so forth included who say, well, you know, the solution is to remove government restraints and let the free market sort out medicine. That just makes me want to put on the helmet and the knee pads and just throw myself at a wall or something, because it's crazy, Chris. It's just insane, because that's what we have allowed to happen. The free market, as is the case in so many other instances, has had its run, and it has failed miserably. It's time to try something else, something that might even work.
Well, we can try. It seems like we can try to fix a system, even going the way of Medicare for all. And then they say, hey, it's expensive to fix people that are being broken down by, sugar, flour, the things we're putting in food, the processing we're doing, taking out all the vitamins and all the things that's going on. Maybe we should not do that so that we don't have to spend the money fixing people who are now not broke, put breaking people, and do that. But the big question I see is that nobody wants to talk about any of this in any degree, in any depth. It's like, well, it's nutrition. Well, we don't talk about nutrition, not even the aspects of it. It's just really a lockdown on any intellectual discussion, debates on what really works and has worked.
Well, and I frankly think that if you got something like Kucinich's plan, Chris, you would see that debate take place, because once profit is removed from the equation, then you can talk about preventative medicine. And preventative medicine, whether it's learning to eat nutritious food, whether it has something to do with maybe taking a long, hard look at the industrial food grid that David and I were talking about a few minutes ago, or whether it's, after-school exercise programs, anything, you know, things that we need to combat the vegification of the next generation and those that come after, that are basically hypnotized by the television in the crib.
Well, that would be, I agree with all those things would be aspects that would probably work. But first, it seems like we have to go back and say, are there cultures that did not have disease? And we go in this book, it says, oh, yeah, there's 13 of them. Are they different in what they eat? Oh, vastly. Are they the same in amounts of nutrients? God, they're like the same right across the board. Did they have any disease? No. Did they have any heart attacks? No. Did they have any cancer? No. Did they have any of this? And you say, no. Well, then why don't we emulate them? And then if we're not, see if it causes any problems. But you have to go with people who found out that things worked and see what they do, and then see if you're doing something that makes you sick, rather than starting from a sick point of view, saying, what can we do to make ourselves better? And that gets us off the point of what do healthy people do.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and again, it's awfully hard for us to have that discussion right now, Chris, because of just about the entirety of the American lifestyle is sick oriented. We poison people for quarterly profits, whether it's what's in the air, what's in the water, what's in the ground, whether it's what's in the food. The industrial pollution producers, all these people have a vested interest in keeping us sick, and they can't see a different way. They can't see a way where that if we lived longer and lived better, they could do better. Because frankly, you know, for somebody who relies on burning coal in ancient coal-fired electric power plants, they don't have another way of doing business. It's either that business or out of business. And so they're going to do everything in their power to, well, you know, there's no proof that mercury is bad for you. You know, I'm the CEO and I eat 2 teaspoons on my Wheaties every morning. And so consequently, you continue to have a sick nation. You talk about these other cultures. Everybody knows about the diet of the Mediterranean peoples. And we know, for instance, how much they smoke. I mean, my God, their cancer rates are lower, their heart disease rates are lower, and they live a hell of a lot better than we do.
Right. Let me get back to just the nutrition and physical degeneration. That book in specifically, if you can read it or get other people to comment it to you about this, what it says, that would be great. And I want to change to one more thing that is, to me, just thrills me. It had to do with the making of the solar panels, making electricity. They're doing it now with a film process, and it rolls out in sheets, and they're going to be able to cut it and be able and not have any solderable joints. And it's going to come out as pennies instead of dollars.
Oh, that's very exciting. I never look at my roof, but I don't think, you know, it'd be so nice if that was all solar panels. I'd love to be free of the power company. You can't imagine to be able to say that these broadcasts go out in a non-coal-fired fashion would thrill me to death.
And along the same line, I'll say one more thing, and I'll get off the phone. The idea of any state, like the federal government, saying we cannot change, you know, the EPA for the cars. I'm saying that's fine. Just say that, hey, if you buy a plug-in, you get a $10,000 credit on your insurance. And everybody buys plug-ins, and they don't sell the gasoline. So they don't win.
Oh, I love the idea. And there was such a credit, and it got canned. There were tax credits once upon a time for installing solar power. That got canned. This is sort of the shamelessness of the money-grubbing, backroom, back-scratching nature of right-wing politics.
With the housing bubble and the $50 trillion debt we have that we have to pay off, and the house is going to go from $60,000 to $200,000, and everybody going to go into big long lines, we're going to have to take care of ourselves. We're right at the point of saying that we need solar power, we need electric cars, and how are we going to settle all this? Because we've got to change how we're going to take care of ourselves, because nobody's going to have any money if the government gets away with siphoning off everything for the promises and debts that they've made. And hurts the people. So there's going to be some kind of big get-together one way or another, a changing of minds, a change of hearts, that we're all in this together, and what are we going to do? So I'm all excited in a weird way.
Well, have you been, with regard to your own situation, have you been able to take positive steps toward doing any of this for yourself?
Not really, not any more than, not as much as I want.
Okay. But it's something that if you were able to do, you would jump on, right?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, the same thing applies here. I live up on a plateau. Where's the American ingenuity, Chris?
Where's the small wind turbines that you
that's
use?
Right.
The 55-gallon drums that are cut out, you know, so that they spin, and you put a little alternator on there and charge batteries, and then you use some kind of step-upper thing to shove it back into the line that they have to pay you for.
Right.
It's all out there one way or another. You just got to keep on being driven that, you know, that's your goal.
And some of that is an information process, too, don't you agree? People have to know where to find it and how to find it.
Yes and no. I have given the answer of one book to, you know, Heal the Nation. I can't see any bigger book. Everything else points to, you know, your trans fat has to do with this book and this, you know, the Weston Price, when you look up on the internet, talking about superfoods, talking about raw milk, talking about all the things that you can need to do with it, talking about vitamin E that the Shoot brothers used in the 50s to cure 35,000 people of heart disease. But no, they don't talk about that because what the heck? It's just so much deception and corruption. Conspiracy theory, you just can't turn around and say where wasn't there.
Well, I don't think this particular topic smacks of conspiracy at all. I think it's just pure business, Chris. There's big money in being sick.
But if you within the things that I've read, you find people that have suits. There's been suits put against companies that they folded on, and basically one of the suits I read about has to do with puffed rice. And when they tested them to rats, the rats that ate the box lived longer than the ones that ate the puffed rice, and by three times as long.
Yeah,
and then they serve people puff rice.
I've actually read that somewhere along the way. Yeah. And
there is conspiracies amongst, maybe not amongst all, because it doesn't have to be amongst all, just people in power that know this and go, I don't care. You tell a doctor, well, why are you doing this? This information is known, and they ignore you. That's complicity.
Or you walk out of the examining room and you see the little dude with the thick. With the thick litigation case sitting there, and you know he's from a pharmaceutical company, and you know why you just heard everything you heard. Because all their information is coming from the pharmaceutical industry.
Right. who doesn't really care about what I just told you about the book. I swear by what I've read, and I want to live a long time. I want to be healthy. My dad had emphysema, died. My mom had leukemia, died. You know, the doctors couldn't help her, and nobody could. And you wonder, well, what do they feed them when they're unconscious? Dead food. Your body can't build anything from dead food. You're a living unit, and only live food keeps you going. Only live food can heal you. You're an enzyme factory. Once the enzymes are cooked, they're dead, and it takes energy to get rid of them, not to process them. But that's the world that you live in. Anyway, I love your show. I keep going, and I'll get off the air and just do everything you're doing. You're awesome.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks so much. You'd be surprised how much that actually means. You have a great evening, okay?
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And rolling along, that appears to be a phone call. Hey, who have
Good
I got?
Good evening.
Well, hey, David, how are you?
Well, I'm all right. I wanted to jump in on this Ron Paul thing.
Yeah?
I've actually been checking out one of the chat rooms run by one of the kids. And I think part of the problem with people who support Kucinichin and in general the left in terms of everything is that they don't see the bigger picture, which the bigger picture is they're organizing and forming their own thoughts and their own ideas, and they're having dialogue and discussion. So with that said, whatever Ron Paul is doing and whatever relationships he's formed, there's a reason of why he's out there. And it should not, I'll make this clear, it should not be undermined at all. Because let me tell you something. I went in the chat room, and it just blew the doors off anything I'd ever seen. I saw 400 people sitting in a chat room. We were having a discussion. Try to get those numbers sometime in Democratic Underground or anything. 400 people from all different backgrounds, political ideologies, and they were all having this discussion constantly. They didn't shoot anyone down. And let me tell you something. With a lot of chat rooms that have an extreme point of ideology, they will, and the boards, they will ban you. Seen it many times before. They will kick you out, and they won't hear it because they just don't want to hear a different thought. And I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. This guy runs a radio station. He's 22 years old, and he just basically goes on every day with no other idea than just to bring awareness of what he likes about Ron Paul and what he believes in about it.
Okay, okay, David, let's stop for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get people to stop liking Ron Paul. I mean, I can what I said yesterday or yesterday or whenever I was participating in that thread over at opednews.com was that for Republicans, I understand the fascination, because when you've lived in an oxygen-free atmosphere, a fart smells like fresh air. Okay?
No, Bob. It's not just Republicans.
But it mostly is. I mean, the Democrats that have been pulled that have been pulled into that have been conned into it. All right? I mean, because unless there's a bunch of Democrats out there who really, really believe that piratizing Social Security is the way to make Social Security live longer, they've been subjected to a con. Okay? The tax dodge that's the fair tax or the flat tax or the Whoville misappropriation tax, I don't know what they're calling it these days. Any Democrat who buys into that wasn't much of a Democrat to begin with, because they didn't understand the idea of progressive taxation, that those who have the greatest ability to pay and whose assets are most protected and are most supported by the system have a duty to pay more. That's a fundamental concept, and I don't disagree with it. You know, I think you know, the Navy, the Army, the Marine Corps, all the jets of the Air Force, they're running around blowing up stuff, mostly for the people who have the thick stock portfolios, for whom, say, oil is and access to oil is not just an important day-to-day thing, but an important part of their wealth accumulation.
Well, Bob, what I'm saying is the concept of what people are saying in terms of what a supporter is and people who are checking them out is not at all what I'm seeing the picture. The radio station is run basically like by a total hippie from San Francisco. Sorry, but that's the truth. He's not a Republican. He believes in what he believes in. He says, this is the direction I'm going in, and this is what I decided to get behind.
What does he believe in, though? That's the thing I always run into with a Paulista or whatever. What do they believe in?
They believe in living free.
Okay, I'm game with that.
They believe collective thought is pretty much a failure, which I would say, in a lot of directions, in a lot of points, I would say yes, because to me, a lot of it is.
But wait, David, what does living free mean? I mean, that's too easy. You know, I believe in kitty cats and flowers, but it doesn't mean anything.
No, I'm saying.
I mean, they believe in living free, but they sure do like driving on those public-supported roads.
I'm saying they believe what they want to do is they want to follow the same rules that basically the left does, the tenets that they do. They just want to go down a different road and try something new. Why? Because pretty much people, the left and the right, have totally lost their trust. It's gone. It's never coming back. And I'll tell you something. They raised $6 million in one day. Wasn't on the mainstream news. I saw literally how they do it. And here's another thing that really, really, really shocks me. We don't have any discussion on this, on how they raise the money. And we really should. We really should be talking to Trevor Lyman. We really should be talking to those people of how they organize and how they have created this chaotic structure from. And we're not even talking the United States. We're talking from all over. $6 million in one day. My God, you know what they're going to do on New Year's? You just wait and see what they're going to do on New Year's. And I see people in the room, Bob. I saw people in the room, hippies, freaking hippies, say, well, that's my lunch money for next week. Just literally give it like that.
Yeah. Listen, you know, I'm well grounded in evangelical hucksterism. This is not my first trip to the carnival. I've seen this kind of stuff before, and I know the mindset that gets behind it. And you know,
how do you know all ideology isn't a hucksterism? You got to go with something, Bob. They're just going with something.
But that's what I'm getting at. There's something isn't anything.
There's something. That they see.
I believe in being, you know, it's like what you did, what you said, and what you said is what they say. I believe in freedom. Well, you know, if you sit there and you subject that to really rational scrutiny, they're going to come, if they're sane, they're going to have to come away from it not quite as enamored with Ron Paul as when they started. Well, you know, Ron Paul doesn't like abortion, but he doesn't believe it's any of his business. So Ron Paul will never see. I read some of this stuff. So Ron Paul will never move, blah 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 to seek to federal law about abortion.
I'm not talking about that.
But yes, you are. Well, yeah, you are, because all of these things are part of Ron Paul.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these people are creating and sparking a dialogue all over the world, and they're able.
Oh, from a systems creation sort of standpoint.
Yes, and we should be taking a similar approach. You know what? If we looked at what Kucinich did, and what the whole Paul chaotic system network, what they've developed, and we compared it, there would be no comparison, Bob. None.
No, the best comparison probably with Ron Paul is Dr. Dean put together in 2004.
No, I would say it's even beyond that. It's beyond.
Well, it probably is beyond it, because it's an outgrowth of it. It took it as a stepping stone and moved forward.
Well, everything's an outgrowth of something else.
Yeah, probably.
No one claims the right on that or the blueprint on that. But what I'm saying is, again. When you try, again, this is something that I see. A lot of people aren't paying attention to how it's going down in terms of fundraising, in terms of awareness, and just in terms of meetups and everything. Just in terms of everything. I mean, just in terms of.
But I'm telling me to slow down. If, as numbers indicate, he polls about 10% in Iowa.
Yeah.
And he does the same thing in New Hampshire and South Carolina, probably even less. If all of that happens, then what's the ultimate outcome of all this? I mean, yeah, they grass-rooted, although I personally think there was more than a little AstroTurf involved, this organization, and they've got meetups and MySpace pages and Facebook pages and yada yada, and they're really leveraging everything there is to leverage on the internet. I don't doubt that, and I respect it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, when Ron Paul loses, what do they do with all that energy?
That's not what's important. What's important is they developed a system of network and discussion and dialogue relationships, probably marriages, Bob. I'm sorry, but that's the reality. Probably marriages. Probably.
I know, but what I'm getting at, David, is with regard to all this,
is it doesn't matter.
Sooner or later, it has to have some grounding in reality.
No. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter if they develop something or not. They've already accomplished their goal of what they wanted to do.
What they want to do is for Ron Paul to be president of the United States. At least that was my understanding.
Well, that is the line. But a lot of them are the reality that he's probably not going to be president.
Okay, and so then they'll just continue the dialogue after the electoral process, and
no harm, no foul. Bob, the room that I went into, first of all, the media is lying. It's not just Republicans. I went in there, hardcore liberals, hardcore Republicans, atheists, anarchists, skaters, every single one. I'm like, this is friggin' amazing. 400 people at once, Bob, if you can imagine that, from all these different ideologies.
And they share a common what?
They just want to try something new. That's all. That's it, pretty much. They're young people who are deciding to going on a road where they just decided for themselves.
Okay. Now, what happens to this idealism, this striking out on a new road, this trying something new? What happens when that something new gets exposed to them as just being the same old BS? What happens to the movement then?
It branches off to somewhere else, Bob. The same way what's happening with the left. Come on, man. What is happening with the left, by the way? We've completely fractured.
Well, we're better at that than anything else we do.
I know we're better at that. But
probably 2-3 shows don't go by that I don't say that, you know, we're screwed until the women's reproductive rights people figure out that their issues are environmental issues, and the environmentalists figure out that their issues are workers' rights issues, and the labor people figure out that their issues are. But you get the idea,
Bob.
We haven't figured it out. We are niched. We are boutiqued, and that is exactly how a lot of people like it.
Bob, most movements, pretty much every cultural movement, eventually gets dismantled, and that's really what's happening with the ideologies of what we're experiencing right now. I see it happening right now.
Well, I mean, everything moves toward entropy, right?
No. Listen, I feel like I've been lied to in the biggest possible way. I've been told constantly that it's all about community. That it's constantly about community and sacrifice. But you know the truth is, Bob? The truth is 99.999 people do not sacrifice for the greater good of what they're saying. And it's just the biggest lie on top of a lie. And to me, when you push that constantly, people are just going to go, you know what? F this. And F you. I'm just going to go any direction I feel like it. And that's really what's happening right now. For example, when you tell someone, you got to take care of the poor and you got to constantly take care of the people, and we constantly have an influx of population of all classes, and we leave all of the kids in all the orphanages, all the adoption centers everywhere, and we just constantly say, but you know what? Let's just have some more kids. Let's just leave those people in there. Oh, who cares if they get molested? Who cares if they get punished? Who cares if they get
Who cares if they get abused or anything like that? That, to me, is the biggest lie in itself of caring for community. We don't care for community.
No, we don't. And
Bob,
let me submit to you, David, that that has not always been the case.
I know, Bob. Let me say this. Sooner or later, man, we're going to have to sacrifice. And what I mean by sacrifice is people with families are going to have to look around and go, you know what? I can't create any more kids. We have to pick up the ones that are lost.
I don't disagree.
Until we do that, it's just one big lie.
I don't disagree with you. Okay? But
I'm just telling you where I'm coming from, Bob. I'm coming from.
I understand. And I'm trying to work it out here in my own head so that I can come up with some sort of a cogent response that lets you know that I'm trying to identify.
This is what the youth is going through right now, man. They've been lied to constantly. Look,
will you promise not to call me an old fogey horse's ass?
No.
If I suggest to you that I've been there. And that virtually everybody listening to this program has been there, and we've all been sold, and we've all been screwed, and we've all poured our hearts out, and our blood, and our bones, and our gristle, and our sinew, and our spirit, and that political solutions. I'm pretty close to done with political solutions. It's interesting to talk about, but so's a train wreck. All right. The response of "I just want to go off and be free" is simple, and it has a certain elegance. And anybody who's ever sat down and spent the God only knows how much time it takes to go through something like Atlas Shrugged, you know, it comes out of it. Oh wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just want to be free. We want to live in a mountain valley in Colorado and mint our own damn money. But the world is and always has been far more complex than that. And the fact of the matter is that pick themselves up by their own bootstraps people who crossed the mountains and lived free like the blah blah blah, a lot of the libertarian garbage that gets spewed all over the internet. They weren't free. My people were illiterate in three generations. Okay? The Kincaids came from Scotland to here, David.
Mm-hmm.
Crossed the mountains. They were the sons of the leading publisher in Edinburgh. And they came here, and in three generations, their progeny were illiterate. And it's not because they were lazy or dumb. It is because they moved into a place where they did not have the... Now, granted, remember, they were free. They didn't have any government interfering in their lives. But they did not have the freedom or the luxury for such trivialities as literacy. Okay? So, the world is always more complex, and I can't help but urge great skepticism for anybody who is being... seeing this... Anything that can be put on a bumper sticker is probably BS. And I mean, that's just something I've come at by dint of hard knocks.
Bob, the choices were Kucinich or Paul, and they just, and for whatever reason, a lot of people just decided to gel more with Paul.
And if it wasn't Paul, it would be someone else.
That's right.
I happen to recall in 2000. When there were disaffected young people who were positively wetting themselves over Ralph Nader. And frankly, Ralph Nader's policies made a hell of a lot more sense to me than anything coming out of Ron Paul's mouth. Because libertarianism is just libertarianism is mean-spirited selfishness for the people who want to smoke pot till it's time for them to collect their Social Security.
I would not disagree with you on a lot of that, but again, a lot of people. I mean, there's really no way you can balance it out for any type of ideology now. This goes back to what I was saying a few weeks ago. We have way too many people to just come up with a system that's gonna work this time. It's gonna be chaos. It's gonna be total chaos for a long time. Even worse than it is now.
Well, I think what you'll see the difference being, David, is between those people who are willing to do the work to take the next step in anticipation of what's coming versus those people who will stand in the road and cry, Lord, Lord, when it comes. Okay? And I'm just enough of a cynic and enough of a crank that I have a feeling, and it's a pretty solid one, and it's grounded on some fact, that the first people crying, Lord, Lord, will be the pull myself up by my own bootstraps libertarian types, because at the end of the day, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Sorry, but that was just too easy.
They died by their own sword. I guess that's what I would say to you on something like that.
Maybe so, because it's that kind of thinking that is breaking us all to pieces. You said the other night that collapse is coming, and you know what? I've given it a lot of thought. I think it may be, David. But I will not go gently into that good night.
As you shouldn't. You should stand by what you believe in, what you think in. But that was my main point, though, Bob. Everything that this guy has brought up, whether you agree with him or not, he's created something special for these people to hold on to.
Well, it has, but they can't have an honest discussion about it.
You know what? Honesty. It's
okay.
It's all,
forthright.
No, it's all relative. No. Listen, it's all relative with honesty and what truth is. We can debate this forever.
All right. Well, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Here, yeah. Real world test. Go into one of these rooms you were talking about.
Yeah.
Tell them you don't believe that human illness should be a function of the profit motive. See what happens.
And you know what they say? And I'll tell you, because I've had this discussion. We talk about it, and a lot, and some people agree and some people don't. I think the misconception is a lot of people who've gone with Paul. No, this is the choice they've made, people. It was either Kucinich or Paul, and they decided. And you know, to polarize someone, say, well, this is what they must be. I mean, this is what we constantly are caught in. And also, it's that divide and conquer type mentality of what they want the masses to do. Really, it doesn't matter what someone thinks or what they believe. Just what really matters, Bob, is that they're having a discussion and a dialogue and open, and it's opening the gateways for whatever. I don't know whatever's coming down.
No, I get that. It's just, what I keep on about is, I think back to, have you read Atlas Shrugged?
Read pieces of it. Not really much.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and spoil it, but I already have. There's this little valley in Colorado where everybody has Frisbees and Wheat Checks, and they mint their own money, and they make electricity out of air.
Yeah.
And there's no mention of what happens when predatory capitalism catches up with them. There's no mention of what happens when the guy who does the electricity decides to hold everybody else ransom, because that's what happens in capitalism. Because sooner or later somebody figures out they can get more money out of people.
I think that happens with any system.
Well, sure it does, but this is the wonderland that is being touted by the Paulistas. You got to understand that Ron Paul's son is named Rand. Okay? He only changed from Libertarian to Republican so he could keep his seat in Texas's congressional delegation, because somebody came to him and had a foot of the cross speech with him. I mean, if Ron Paul was the honest paragon of political virtue that he is held out to be, he would still be a Libertarian. But he isn't.
Well, I say if it opens the door for something better in the future, and this is the first stepping stone, Ron Paul, then I say it's for the greater good, for whatever that is.
Well,
I don't think he's going to be president.
No. I know you don't. But I would just, you're the one who told me a couple of minutes ago, David, that truth and good and right are all fluid terms.
That's true.
And
nobody really knows for sure, and I guess that's what I'm saying to you. That's the choice they made.
And I will say to you that nothing good can come of a system that is predicated on predation. And that is the essence of libertarianism. Predation. Law of the jungle. Eat you, I'll eat you before you can eat me. Or maybe we'll gang up and eat a third guy. But well, somebody gets it.
Well, I have to disagree with you. I think a lot of that's changing is different. And a lot of people don't really, you know, the libertarian is such a broad term. Like I said, I think it's just in its infancy. They just want to try something new, Bob. That's all. Whatever.
Well, I think they will.
Yeah.
I think it's in the nature of youth that they will.
Yeah.
I think it's in the nature of idealism that they will. But
if it's disastrous, so be it, Bob. That's a choice they made. That's a choice the youth make.
But it depends on, you know, disastrous in terms of they decide to live on a glacier and the glacier collapses and everybody dies. That's disastrous.
I guess so. Bob, you know the way I look at it? Eventually everyone's going to die anyway.
Well, sure they do. Sure they do. But the question is, what do we leave behind for the spacemen to find in 2 million years?
The question is, the better question is there anything going to be left behind?
Well, yeah, I would highly I can't remember the author, but I know, knowing your sense of humor, David, you would get a kick out of it. If you can find it on, if you can find it in a used bookstore or whatever, find it for cheap, couple of bucks, whatever. Spend the money and order Motel of the Mysteries.
Motel of the Mysteries.
I promise you, you'll call me back and say, "Oh, Bob."
And on another note, Bob, I really think you should listen to that Twilight Singer stuff.
I'm gonna.
All right, cool.
All right, take it easy, David. I really
All
enjoyed
right,
it.
Later.
Bye now. Say hi to the Paul people for me.
All right.
Bye.
Later.
Okay, let's see. Onward and outward and upward and, yep, that's a phone call.
Yes, it is.
Well, hey, how's it going?
Fine, Bob. How are you?
I'm glad that Christmas comes once a year because I couldn't take it twice.
Well, we were off the day before Christmas, and I told everybody at work today, I wish I'd worked that day and took the day off. Oh, gosh. You know, been hit the road hard and put up wet.
I know. I was flagging fast even as I crawled in behind the microphone this evening.
And if David wants to find somebody, I think that would be more to his liking, and he's not running for president, just go look at the website of Bernie Sanders.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, Bernie's, you know, to me, Bernie's a great Democrat. He's not, but I mean, to me, Bernie is closer to what I think a Democrat should be.
Yeah, I tend yes. I like a lot of the politics that comes out of Vermont.
Mm-hmm. But I was sitting here tonight watching Tweety Bird while I was eating. Had the sound off, thank heavens, so I could eat. The thing that got to me was they're sitting here saying that Hillary had a bad week, and I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, now let's see, Barack has lost his lead in Iowa. So it's back to the three-way race the way it was 6 months ago. But I forgot, Barack's doing well and Hillary's doing bad. That whole up-down thing always gets me confused.
Well,
you know,
it's back
where they were 6 months ago.
Yeah.
The three-way tie, essentially, in Iowa.
And I think it'll stay that way. And frankly, I can't help but think back to that. What was it? The Patriots and the Rams in the Super Bowl, when they were changing the line all the way up to the kickoff, trying to get the money right because there was such a bloodbath going to be taken.
Well, you know, I just have that feeling that the way Barack and Hillary are going at it, I think Edwards is going to win now.
You know, I think that I wouldn't be surprised, and I would certainly not be disenchanted.
No, it's one of those things. I mean, you know, this is the way the process is supposed to work. Let's get it all out.
I mean, but bless his heart. You know, poor Bart Kopp takes such hell from people because they accuse him of being, you know, like a Hillary shill and stuff like that.
Oh.
And he's not by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Not for a minute.
It's just the way
he wants to win.
Our media is so anti-Hillary. If you say anything that you just say things are normal, they'd say, "Well, you're in her favor, aren't you? Because you didn't knock her." Like,
yeah, but you know, bless his heart, Bart wants to win. And today there's a graphic on the page that shows Obama holding a bag of Fritos and a bong with smoke coming out. It says Barack Obonga.
Oh God.
But that's an example of the level of nastiness that's out there. And frankly, if a lot of people look at John Edwards and say, you know, a pox on both their houses as far as Senator Clinton and Senator Obama are concerned,
Apparently this guy who was once his campaign manager is now out there with a 527 and putting out essentially a positive message. And it's like, okay, let's try that. That'll be something different. Instead of attacking everybody else, let's say, I'm a good fella.
Yeah.
I'm a good fella.
Well, what you bring up, though, is very interesting. Did you see Krugman's column?
No, I haven't had a chance to look at it today.
It's absolutely fascinating because he takes a tack that is very similar to what you've mentioned, insofar as he points out that Obama is complaining about a 527 group that is talking about health care issues relative to Edwards. And, you know, Obama's saying, well, that's the special interest that I don't want to have anything to do with. Well, okay, those are unions and those are working people, and you just said you don't want anything to do with them?
It's one of those things that, you know, I understand if you don't want to talk about it, that's your choice. But if he's going to talk about it, if Edwards is going to talk about it, don't say he can't do it because you're not going to. You know, if Edwards wants to talk about what he's going to do, that's fine. You know, if you put up your plan and let the people pick, but don't say essentially say he can't talk about his because I'm not talking about mine. It's like, I'm sorry, you know, if he wants to, you know, and if Edwards makes health care, you know, not the cornerstone, but one of his major things, that's what he should do. You know, the thing was, well, we saw this weekend, we saw the pictures of Mr. Huxtable there in his orange suit and his hat with the flaps. I can't think of the name of it.
Oh, yeah.
Going hunting. And I'm sitting there going, look, Elmer Fudd.
Oh, I know. There was a lot of Huxtable news this weekend. And of course, the one thing that slipped out right before Christmas hit and I couldn't do anything about was the big bust on Willard Romney, where he had to go back and say, well, when I said that my father marched with Martin Luther King, it was only a figure of speech.
He did it in spirit. Well, we all did in spirit. Thank you. I know. You know, it's one of those things like, it's like I heard one of the sports, some of sports today, I'll tell you, this was funny. They were talking this weekend, you know, about Clemens is going to be on 60 Minutes. The guy said there should be three chairs, one for Mike Wallace, one for Clemens, and one for the lie detector. You know?
Yeah, no kidding.
But, you know, it's just one of these things. It's interesting now, like I say, over on the Republican side, it's like you say, it's just sort of, you know, you just wonder, you know, they're sitting around sort of on pins and needles going, who's going to say something? Who's waiting for the next shoe to drop? You know, There's Giuliani, who's been dropping like a rock before he had this little health question. You know, now he was out this week. Oh, I'm fine. releasing his the medical records or whatever, or having his doctor talk, whatever. And that's fine. I mean, hope his cancer's in remission and all that. But it's like I say, don't think this is the only reason your numbers have been dropping, Rudy. People are actually starting to pay attention when you see the firemen from New York City say, you know, Rudy's not the hero you think he is.
Yeah, coming out today and say that there was no way that the responders could have had working radios, that it was physically impossible to do. Yeah, you know, that's not going to play real well with the NYPD and the FDNY.
Because they're sitting there going, yes, they would. You just wouldn't buy them.
Yeah, they would have worked just fine if we'd had them. Exactly. Hey Luke, I don't mean to be short, but I got a bunch in the queue here.
Get somebody else on, bud.
All right, thanks.
That.
Bye.
Bye.
You guys always wait till the end of the program. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hey Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Greetings from Polk County, Florida. That's my county.
Oh, so you may have seen some of that go down in the newspapers.
No, I don't read the newspaper. I'm allergic to print, and I don't read the local papers.
Oh, okay. Well,
so I didn't know about it, but I just wanted to let you know and just say, as George Bush and Condi Rice and what's Bush's wife's name? Laura?
Yeah.
Said, happy holidays.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, yep, they did.
Every time you saw them.
Yep, sitting there taking their own little pot shots in the war on Christmas.
Yeah. I've got a little thing I did for my cousins that are right wingers that send me all these kind of crazy emails.
Yeah.
And they send some nice ones too. But I sent them a site about the Mississippi thing, you know, about the dollar a person.
Yeah, finish the job.
Yeah. And then I sent them a site, another one about move on, working with the USO to send telephone cards to our soldiers.
Right.
And it was a great article about, you know, how brave our soldiers were. I haven't heard back from them. I did that last week. You know.
Yeah, I wouldn't haunt the mail. I wouldn't haunt the email client waiting for a response. That's the kind of stuff they don't deal with real well.
But anyway, you know, every once in a while, you just got to do a little something and hope somebody will see the light. You know.
Well, sure.
But they send a lot of these things. They say you need to send this to 10 people. If you do, you'll have a blessing.
Oh, I
hate a chain letter.
I hate email chain mail. I loathe it because I'm rational, so I reject it. But there's this little corner of me goes, but Bob, you might get rich. You might, you know, good things might happen.
And
you know, it preys on that little tiny rice grain that's inside all of us. Juanita, I got to roll along because I got a couple more people I want to hit.
Okay.
You take care.
Bye
now.
Bye.
Okay. Are we? Nope, we're not. Well, dadgummit. I have no way of knowing. So, you know, sometimes they're going to turn out to be busy signals. But that's it for tonight. Thank you, all of you who participated, joined in, sat patiently screaming at the speakers. I do that, you know, so I speak from experience. Hope you'll be back with us tomorrow evening. Coming up next, America's Most Fabulous LGBT Conversation. And I do the rest, the Q's and the S's and everything, but I just get lost in it. The world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio host, Strictly Confidential, with Peter Godbold on his way, chomping at the bit, ready and waiting. I've got him all hooked up and ready, and the remote's all set from down a dirt road somewhere in Florida, and so I look forward to it and think we've got a dandy show on our hands. So thank you very much. Thank you to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. Thank you to our engineer in Sydney, Australia, the world's most fabulous sound guy and engineer in general, John Fox. Thank you to Peter Godbold, our IT professional. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. Authorities in Seattle, Washington have made two arrests in the shooting deaths of six people. Their bodies discovered this morning at a Woodside compound just outside the city. The identities of the male and female suspects have not been released. Investigators have not officially identified the victims, but say it is likely that they are three generations of one family, including two toddlers. The U.S. Senate met in pro forma session for a total of 9 seconds as part of an ongoing power struggle with President Bush. Mr. Bush was prevented from appointing a nominee for Assistant Attorney General. From his ranch today in Crawford, Texas, though, President Bush did sign the federal budget bill that allocates $555 billion for 14 federal agencies plus the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Two U.S. soldiers were killed in northern Iraq on Christmas Day, bringing the official U.S. military death toll in Iraq to 3,900. Egyptian leaders are rejecting Israel's complaints over weapons being smuggled into Gaza, calling them a smokescreen. Diplomatic talks between Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak and Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak are expected to continue. Serbian officials are saying no to the European Union over the independence of Kosovo. Serbia's prime minister and president both told the EU that they would never join with a united Europe if Kosovo is also given equal independent status. At least 76 people were killed in western Indonesia by current landslides caused in heavy rain. Several villages in the region are flooded. In Nepal, search and rescue efforts continue at the site of a bridge that collapsed yesterday, killing at least 15 people, some 100 still missing. South Korean naval officials say they don't expect to find the 14 sailors who disappeared yesterday when their cargo ship sank off the South Korean coastline. In Panama, a 12-year-old American girl is the only survivor of a plane crash in a mountainous region of the Central American country. The CEO of a U.S. hedge fund, his teen daughter, and the plane's pilot all died in the accident, which is under investigation by Panamanian authorities. And a 300-pound Siberian tiger escaped from its enclosure at the San Francisco Zoo last night, killing one spectator and injuring two others. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
Home prices fell 6.7% in October compared with a year ago. It is the largest price drop in more than 16 years, marking the 10th consecutive month of price depreciation. Shares for Amazon.com rose more than 2% today after the company reported that the current holiday season is at